Welcome back to the deep dive. You know, in most systems of thought, whether it's spiritual or psychological, desire gets a really bad rap.
It's the villain.
It's the villain,
Yeah.
exactly. It's the thing you have to conquer or, suppress entirely to find any kind of peace. But what if that whole idea was incomplete? What if the real struggle people face isn't about having desire, but about having the wrong kind of desire?
And that is such a powerful and I think a really counterintuitive idea. It's at the absolute heart of our deep dive today. We're focusing on chapter 21 of the RAFT to Freedom program, and it looks at this concept of noble desire, or chanda. The argument is that this isn't just helpful, it's the foundational requirement for any real transformation.
The first of the four creative powers, as the program calls them.
The very first. And if you don't get this distinction right, it's almost impossible to genuinely start moving forward.
And for anyone new, RAFT, that's RAFT, just pronounced raft, is an acronym that sort of guides the whole process. It's recognize, abandon, freedom, and train. It gives you a structure. But what you're saying is that the structure is useless without the right kind of fuel.
Exactly. The point isn't this grim, joyless discipline. The path shouldn't feel like a punishment. It's a great line from Stephen Batchelor, whose work influences this material. He wrote, "The path is not about forcing yourself into rigid discipline, but about cultivating a heartfelt interest in waking up to life."
A heartfelt interest. That just, it changes
It
everything.
does.
It reframes the whole effort. It means the work should feel like an inspired exploration, not some heavy chore you have to get through.
Because if it feels like a burden, you're just not going to sustain it. It's that simple. But if it feels like a joy or even just a deep natural interest,
You'll keep going.
you'll keep going. And that's why this is so fundamental. We're talking about the initial spark, the motivation that's strong enough to start the journey and sustainable enough to see it through the tough spots.
Okay, so let's get into that crucial distinction, because this feels like where the real magic is. How do we tell the difference between the desire that hurts us and the desire that, well, heals us?
We have to go to the original language, Pali, which has two very distinct words. And I think mixing them up is what causes so much confusion and, frankly, self-sabotage. So the first one, the problematic one, is tatcha. This is the desire we're always warned about. It's desperate wanting, it's grasping, clinging.
Like a frantic energy.
A frantic energy, that's a perfect way to put it. It's that tight knot in your stomach because you feel incomplete, you know? It comes from this sense of lack, this belief that I need this thing, this status, this substance, whatever it is, just to be okay.
So Tatcha is always about that immediate relief, that instant reward. It's driven by the ego feeling broken or threatened. It's a very contracted feeling.
Precisely. And this grasping, this craving, is what drives the cycle of the many ways we lose ourselves. It leads directly to suffering, to pain, to disappointment, when reality, inevitably, doesn't meet our demands.
Right.
Now, you contrast that with the second word, which is chanda, noble desire. This is completely different. It's positive aspiration, genuine interest, a heartfelt commitment.
So it's not coming from a place of lack.
Not at all. It comes from wisdom, from clarity. It's a deep, calm recognition of your potential.
So instead of that frantic, I have to stop this now or I'm a failure, it's more like a quiet resolve. I aspire to live a life of integrity, or I want to heal.
Yes, that's it exactly. Chanda is the energy that fuels your effort without creating all that stress and agitation. Gautama, the Buddha, was very specific about this. He said you need both kinds of desire, and that chanda is absolutely essential for any progress because it's aimed at long-term well-being.
Okay, but here's the challenge, right? For anyone listening, in the messy reality of trying to change a deep habit, how do you stop that noble desire, that chanda, from just slipping back into a kind of high-level grasping? Isn't aspiration just craving in a nicer suit?
Yeah, that is a critical question. And the line can feel thin, I get that. The key difference is the feeling of the source. Tata is demanding, it's conditional. And if you don't get the result right away, it triggers shame, despair. Chana is, it's open, it's non-conditional, it's focused on the process of growing, even if you have setbacks.
So it's about the journey, not just the destination.
Precisely. Ajahn Susthito summarized it so well. He said, "You could summarize Dhamma training as the transformation of tana into chanda." The whole point of the RAFT program is learning to spot that frantic energy and deliberately rechannel it.
So this noble desire is the superpower that fights back against apathy, against resistance, against that, you know, that crushing hopelessness that comes with trying to untangle these difficult habits.
It's the drive. Yes.
Yeah.
To bring it back to the RAFT metaphor, Chanda is the spark that powers your raft. Mm. You can know you're stuck, but without Chanda, you don't have the energy to even start building.
It's the difference between just wishing you were free and actively committing to getting free.
That's it. Wishing is passive. Chanda is active. It's intentional.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. But you can't just wait for it to strike like lightning. So if this is a power source, how do we build it? How do we take this from an idea to a daily reality?
Right. And the RAFT program is very clear on this. We have to actively nurture the ground for Chanda to grow. It lays out five really critical, actionable practices.
Let's hear them.
The first, and it's the most foundational, is connect with your why. Your purpose. You have to regularly reflect on your deepest reasons for doing this.
So going beyond just, I want to feel better.
Way beyond that.
Yeah.
You need to connect to core values like freedom or connection or peace. The program suggests visualizing a positive future or even creating a personal mission statement.
I like that. It connects the small daily work, you know, the 5 minutes of practice or whatever it is, to that huge inspiring value. It turns a chore into a mission.
Exactly. If you lose sight of the mountain peak, walking through the valley feels pointless. Keep the peak in mind, and every step is progress. The second practice follows from that. Set inspiring and achievable goals.
Okay, this sounds a little like standard self-help. What's the noble desire twist on it?
The twist is twofold. First, break the journey down into tiny, manageable steps. If you try to change everything at once, Tanya just takes over with all that stress and you burn out.
Right.
Second, and this is crucial, frame the goals positively. So instead of, I will not do this harmful thing today, you frame it as, I will cultivate 5 minutes of quiet, serene breathing today.
Ah, so you're shifting the energy from avoidance to creation.
But you're creating wholesome states. And those small positive wins, they stack up. They become real, tangible fuel for your Chanda.
That reframes struggle as progress, which I guess leads into the third practice, which is focus on the path as growth and discovery.
This is so important. If you see this only as a battle against your past, it just stays a burden.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. The program encourages you to cultivate a caring curiosity. You're not just fighting compulsions. You're on a profound journey of learning, of developing wisdom, of practicing self-compassion. The process itself becomes interesting.
You're turning it from an obligation into an exploration you want to see through.
Yes, which is sustained by the fourth practice, nurture interest. Mm-hmm. This is about active nourishment.
Yeah.
You have to surround yourself with things that embody what you aspire to.
So reading inspiring stories, listening to talks.
Exactly. Or just connecting with people who are a bit further along the path than you are. You have to create a fertile environment. You can't grow Chanda in a mental landscape that's just full of negativity and lack. You have to feed it.
Constant, gentle nourishment. I like that. Okay, and the fifth one. This one, balance desire with non-attachment, feels like the trickiest one. It's a tightrope walk, isn't it? If I desire freedom, aren't I by definition attached to it?
This is the subtlety that stops Chanda from collapsing back into stress. You hold the aspirations strongly, but you let go of being rigid about the outcome.
The timeline.
The timeline, how it's supposed to look, when the universe should deliver it. You're fully engaged in the effort, but you're not stressed by the result. This is where the wisdom of someone like Ajahn Chah comes in. He said, if you pick up something and find it useful, then use it, but don't cling to it. Use the practice, desire the outcome, but if tomorrow's a bad day, you don't shatter. You just adjust and continue. Your fuel is aspiration, not desperation.
So the clinging, the wanting to control the when and how, that's the doorway back to Tant. Noble desire allows you to try hard, but with patience.
That's it. It's the difference between running a marathon because you love running versus running because you desperately need that medal to prove you're worthwhile.
Yeah.
One is sustainable. The other is just a recipe for burnout.
Okay, let's connect this to the modern world. How does all this ancient wisdom, you know, stack up against what science tells us about motivation?
It aligns beautifully, actually. I mean, Chanda is a perfect match for what science calls intrinsic motivation. That's the drive to do something because the activity itself is valuable or satisfying.
You do it for the sake of doing it.
You do. Whereas Tan is all about our reward systems getting hijacked. It's extrinsic motivation. It's about short-term dopamine hits for that instant relief. And the difference isn't just behavioral, it's structural in the brain.
So we're actually using different parts of our brain when we try to change.
Absolutely. When you're in Tantra, you're often stuck in the reactive emotional parts of the brain, the emotional basement, if you will. But Chanda, because it's about long-term values and purpose, it engages the prefrontal cortex, the PFC-mediated circuits.
The brain's executive suite.
The executive suite. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
You are literally using your most sophisticated systems for value-based decision-making when you act from noble desire.
Wow. The executive suite versus the emotional basement. That makes it so clear.
And it maps right onto contemporary psychology, too. Take self-determination theory. It says for motivation to be sustainable, you need three things: autonomy, competence, and relatedness.
And Chanda delivers all three. You feel autonomous because you chose the path. You build competence with those small positive goals, and you feel relatedness by connecting to these deep values.
Exactly. It also supports goal-setting theory, which shows that specific, meaningful, achievable goals are the ones that work long-term. And think about techniques like motivational interviewing. The whole basis of that is to find and amplify a person's own intrinsic motivation. It's a direct parallel to cultivating Chanda.
So whether it's ancient philosophy, neuroscience, or psychology, the message is the same. The quality of your desire determines the sustainability of your effort. It's not about killing desire, it's about refining it.
That is the ultimate takeaway. Noble desire transforms the path from a reluctant struggle into an inspired journey.
Mm.
And the first step is just recognizing that you have this capacity for wholesome aspiration and learning to separate it from the stressful energy of craving.
Before we wrap up, for anyone listening who wants to explore this material more deeply, we should mention where it comes from. The RAFT to Freedom Workbook, which is where this chapter is from, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen, and they have generously made the entire 66 chapters freely available online.
You can find all of it, plus the full context for the program, by visiting raft2freedom.org. That's RAFT, the number 2, freedom.org.
And as you reflect on this over the next few days, we want to leave you with a little prompt for your own awareness. Just notice the energy of your desires this week. Can you tell the difference between the feeling of craving, that taya, that frantic, contracted feeling, and the feeling of wholesome aspiration, Chanda, that open, focused, resolved energy?
Just notice the physical and mental differences between them. And we'll close today with a really powerful quote from James Allen, which just perfectly captures what's at stake here. He wrote, "You will become as small as your controlling desire, as great as your dominant aspiration.